47, all right. When he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the saved ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. Another?
Yes.
10. All right. I need some help starting this one.
There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. Savior,
Says in verse 4 there, he waiteth in patience for sinners to trust him. How long has the Lord been waiting? How long has he been waiting? Yes, an hour. A million, it could seem like a million years. Yeah, we're in 2000, coming up on 2008, right? And the Lord died about 2,000 years ago, right? And he's waited that long. And why is he waiting? What does this song say? Why is he waiting? Yeah, Denali.
He's waiting because he
wants
people to get saved.
Right. That is exactly right. He waiteth in patience for sinners to trust him. And as we said, we're all sinners, right? We've all done things that are wrong, and we all need a Savior, don't we? We all need a Savior. So, you know, since we're all sinners and we all need a Savior, the Lord is saying what? He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? So the Lord died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. He had outstretched arms on the cross. Now, is his arm still outstretched? Is he still saying, come? He is. He wants you to come. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus, he wants you to come, and he wants you to come right now. You know, pretty soon we had yesterday, a few people said, you know, maybe today the Lord will come, maybe today. And what happens then? If you haven't accepted him, will you have a second shot at it? I don't think you'll have a second shot. I don't think you'll have a second shot at it. So he wants us to come now. It says, I think we have a verse out here. It is, yeah. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's time for your soul to be saved is now. If you haven't put your faith and trust in the Lord, it's now. It's not later today. It's not when you turn 14 or when you turn 18 or when you turn 21. It's right now. If you haven't accepted the Lord, you need to do so now. The Lord is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying now. Behold, now is the accepted time, right? Soon the Lord's patience, it will be time, and there won't be any more time. So it's now. It's now. Does someone have another one? Yeah. Katrina.
Five.
Number five. All right. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice
on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus was sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, actions done. I am my Lord's, and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, glad to confess the one divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Someone in the back. Let's see if we can get someone in the back. Okay. 44. Thank you.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
Gospel out so much. Why do your parents take you to Sunday school every week and the gospel meeting? Yeah, why do we tell that?
So more people can get saved.
Exactly. That's one great reason. So more people can be saved. You know what I found too is sometimes in Sunday school, you know, we tell the story and we ask kids, we say, how do you get saved? Have you ever asked somebody that? You know, how do you get saved? I've asked people that and kids that. And you know what a common answer is? What's a common answer? Yeah.
By being good.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was thinking. I was I was in Starbucks about a week ago doing some work, and I asked the little boy that who was selling candles for his church, and he was telling me how it was $5 and there were candles for his church, and I asked him what he did with the money, and he told me they give it, you know, to the pastor, and the pastor uses it for good causes of poor people and buy kids presents at Christmas and that kind of thing. But I asked him, I said, how do you get saved? And he said, by being good, by praying. I thought, no, that's not it, right? So that's one of the reasons we tell the story over and over, so people know how to get saved. Now, we know that there's a verse, believe on who and thou shalt be saved?
Lord Jesus.
Right, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then there's a verse in Ephesians that talks about not of works. Does anyone know there's two verses in Ephesians? I think it's chapter 2. Does anyone know those? It talks about not of works. That little phrase is in there. Does anyone know those? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So the scripture tells us it's not of works. You can't do good works to get to heaven. You can't do them. God won't accept good works to get to heaven. And that is a common misperception out there, right? Oh, if I'm just good, I'm just good enough, I'll get to heaven. I'll be okay. God will accept that. There's not enough good works that we can do to get to heaven. There's not. And that's another reason we tell it again, so that people will be saved. And then there's other reasons we tell it too, but it's our responsibility once we're Christians to tell it out. But yeah, that's you had a good answer. That's why we tell it again over and over. But it's because of the work that the Lord has done on Calvary's cross. It's the blood. He shed his precious blood on the cross. And it says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. And it's nothing about our works. It's nothing that we can do to be saved. The only thing we can do is put our faith and trust in the Lord. So maybe we'll sing one more, and then we have a special speaker today for you. Yes?
41.
41. All right. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children serve. Children whose sins are all forgiven will have.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me though I'm bad, and He waits to make me glad, waits to fold me in His arms, keeps me safe from every harm. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, loves me still. When I'm very weak and ill, from His shining home on high, He will watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, He will stay close beside me all the way. If I trust Him, should I die, He will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Tim, turn it over to you.
Good morning. It's glad to see we have so many people here this morning for our Sunday school. Why don't we just ask the Lord's help before we start? Our God and Father, we give thanks for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks that He came into the world because we are sinners and because He wanted to make a way for us to be able to come to the Father, to be brought back to the Father. And we just ask that we'd each understand to know that the Lord Jesus died for our sins, and that He was raised from the dead, and that we just ask that each one would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask for help today to present the gospel in a simple way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have lived for the last 5 years, most of the time in Africa, and I've noticed that people there are no different than the people here. People die just like they do here. There was a little girl. She was crawling around playing with the other children. And the other children went away. And this little girl, she was playing by a well. And she crawled into the well. And she fell down. And nobody saw her in there. And it wasn't long before that little girl died. She drowned. People looked around for her. They couldn't find her. Finally, somebody went to the well. And there she was. She was dead. Oh, the mother and the father, they were so sad. There was another man. He and his family went to bed that night. Then there was a fire that started up in the electrical system, and it put smoke all through their house. And this brother, he was in the assembly in Tanzania. And by morning time, the smoke had killed his whole family. They died. Each one here, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And that's why we want to bring the gospel to each and every one. You need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you because you're a sinner, and He wants to bring you back to God, to be a child of God, to bring glory to God. And I want to talk about a story about a man who was told to go and preach the gospel. And I want to look in the book of Jonah. Jonah was a man, he was a prophet. And God talked to Jonah. And he came to Jonah and he said, Jonah, get up. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. And I want, it's a big city. And I want you to preach against that city because they are very wicked. They do a lot of bad things there. There's stealing and there's cheating and there's adultery and there's murder and there's so much wickedness. I want you to go and preach to them and tell them I have a message for you. Well, Jonah, he didn't like the people in that city. He hated those people. And so I'm not going over there. And so, but God said, Jonah, you go. Jonah said, no. He turned around and he went the opposite direction. He got on a boat and he was going across the ocean to another place called Tarshish. He paid his money, he got on the boat, and away they went. They sailed in the opposite direction. How many times has God talked to you? The Lord Jesus says to you today, he says, come unto me. And you say, not today. You go out that door and you leave God behind. Well, Jonah, he tried that. He got up and he ran away from God. He ran away from the presence of the Lord. And he got onto this boat. He thought he was getting away from God. And maybe you think that you can get away from God by just ignoring what is being said. Maybe you can get away from God by getting involved with your friends at school or at home and doing things that make you think of other things. Listen to the music. Get on with sports and so many things that get us so busy with our jobs and our and different things. And we get so busy, we forget about God. We try to run away from God. We don't want to know that we're sinners. We don't want to know that there's a hell and that there's judgment. We just ignore that fact. God said, Jonah, you go and tell these people. They're going to die. They're going to be destroyed. Jonah said, no. And so he gets on the boat and away he goes. Well, the Lord, he didn't forget about Jonah. He sent a storm and that storm came and the winds blew and the boat was rocking. And they were about ready to sink in the boat. And the freight that was on the boat, the ship, the captain, he said, we have to throw everything overboard because we're going to sink. And so they took all their freight and they threw it out of the ship. And they threw more out of the ship. And then they said, where's that guy called Jonah? He was on here a little while ago. And so they went and they found Jonah. He was down in the side of the ship, down underneath. He was sleeping. He had found a pillow. And he was sleeping. So they woke up Jonah. These people, they were afraid. They were afraid. They had been in storms before, but not a storm like this one. And they were afraid. And so they went over and shook up Jonah. Jonah, get up. What are you doing? Sleeping. Here, we're about ready to die. Where's your God? We've been praying to our gods. They won't listen to us. Where's your God? Why is this storm about us? And so they cast lots. They said, we're going to choose one person. We're going to find out who is responsible for this storm. And so the lot came to Jonah. And they said, Jonah, what is it? So Jonah told them. He said, I believe in God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. And I'm running away from him because he told me to do something. I don't want to do it. And so he's running away from God. And so the people said, why do you do that? We're in danger. Pray to your God. What do we need to do to stop this storm? Jonah said, pick me up and throw me over the side of the boat. And they said, no, we can't do that. We're not going to have your death on our hands. No, we can't do that. You need to pray to your God. So they got into their boat, back into their seats with their big oars. Men on both sides of the ship, all with oars, and they started rowing as hard as they could. They were going to save themselves. They were going to get out of this storm that God had sent to get Jonah. Jonah said to them, "No, you have to throw me overboard." The men finally said, "Okay, we have, what else can we do? We're all going to perish." But they prayed, "God, don't lay this blood of this innocent." He said, "Lo, Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and let not thine, lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee." So the men, they were afraid to throw Jonah in, but they were the boat was rocking, and they couldn't even stand on the boat. It was so rough. And so they went to pick up Jonah, and they got Jonah. There must have been three or four of them. They picked Jonah up, and they threw him over the side of the ship and down into the water. And the storm stopped. Just like that. The storm stopped, and it became calm, and the boat stopped rocking. But they were looking over the side of the boat. There's Jonah down there. What should we do? The storm stopped. Should we bring him back on board? And I'm sure the captain said, "Oh no, we don't want him back on here. He's caused enough trouble." But Jonah, he was still down there in the water, going along. And then, "Jonah, look out, there's a fish coming, a big fish." And that fish came. God had prepared this fish. Years before, he had been preparing this fish, a big fish. It grew very big, and it came and it swallowed Jonah. And Jonah went down inside the belly in the bowels of the fish. God prepared this fish so there'd be enough room inside of the belly of the fish. Jonah was in there. I'm sure he couldn't move very much. He was probably stuck in there. But there was enough air in there so he could breathe. It was dark in there. He couldn't see anything. But God prepared this for Jonah. And now Jonah, what could he do? He was stuck. And he began to think. He began to think about God. He began to think about his sin. And God wants you to think about your sin. He wants you to think about God. He wants you to think about what God has done for you and what God has told you to do. What has God told you to do? God has told you to repent. God commands everyone to repent. And unless you do repent, you will perish. And Jonah was suffering because he disobeyed God. And if you choose to disobey God today, if you choose to ignore and not repent from your sin and turn away from your sin and turn to God, you don't have a chance, because Jesus Christ is your only chance. Well, Jonah was in the belly of this fish, and that fish went down to the bottom of the ocean, all the way down to the very bottom. Jonah was pretty low. And sometimes God sends difficult times into your life. Maybe your parents have become divorced. And now you as children have to decide, or the judge decides, who you're going to have to spend time with. And your parents are very angry at each other, and they're angry with you. And you just don't know what to do. Maybe you've had an accident. Maybe you've lost a child or a friend. They've died, and you don't know who to turn to. God will send, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, God will send difficulties into your life in order to bring you to the point, like with Jonah, to make you pray. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly." This experience caused Jonah to pray to God a prayer of repentance. Have you repented? Have you told Jesus, "Yes, I'm a sinner"? Well, Jonah was down under the water. The waters, it says that the waves and the billows passed over Jonah. It came over him like a flood. He was underneath at the waters of judgment. And that reminds me of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus experienced something very similar to that. And the judgments, when the Lord Jesus was put on the cross, they hung him there. And there were 3 hours of darkness, just like it was dark inside this fish. There were 3 hours of darkness. And during those 3 hours, God put your adultery. He took that and he put it on Jesus. Jesus was innocent. He never did anything like that. He never cheated. He never stole. He never had a fight. But all your sins, all my sins of the fighting and the cheating and the lying, it was put on Jesus, that holy person, as he hung there during those 3 hours of darkness. And then the judgment of God fell on Jesus Christ. The judgment that you deserved, it came and fell on Jesus Christ. Because Jesus loves you. Maybe you live in a life where you don't know what love is. When you go home, there's always arguing and fighting. And you don't know what love is. Jesus loves you. He was willing to go there, even though he was innocent. He was willing to be put there on the cross, to die for you, to be punished for you, to have your sin put on him. That dirty sin, it was put on him, and he was punished. And the punishment came like waves after waves, just like Jonah in the water. It was as if the Lord Jesus was, the waves were going over his head, and he tries to get up to get some air, and another wave comes over him. Judgment after judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it happened because he loves you. Jonah prayed a prayer of repentance. And then Jonah, he started to worship the Lord. And in verse 9 he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Ah, when Jonah started to worship the Lord, and he says, salvation is of the Lord. He put his complete dependence on God. And that's what you have to do. Is Jesus your Lord? What does it mean to have Jesus as your Lord? Some people say, oh yes, I'm saved, I believe. But is Jesus really your Lord? What does that mean? That means that Jesus is your boss. Everything I do, I need to ask Jesus, is this okay? What do you want me to do today? Sometimes we're happy just to be saved, but then we go off and we do our own will, our own desires, and we don't like to obey other people. We don't like to obey God. But Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be turning away from your wickedness in your life. You need to depend on the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah put his complete dependence on God. Whatever God wills, he will accept. You need to do that too. Whatever God wills for you to accept, your God's will for you is to repent and to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is important to believe. It is important to repent. A couple weeks ago, I was in Malawi, and I was speaking with a man who had done some bad, terrible sins. And he was lying for another man, and he was covering up all of this wickedness with a lie. And he was telling us false stories to help cover up the sin of another man. And one day he came to his granddaughter and said, his granddaughter was gathered there, and she came to the meeting in Karonga. And he came to his granddaughter and he said, granddaughter, my sin is too heavy for me to bear. I cannot carry this. It's too heavy. It's like a big cloth around me, very tight, and I can't move. And I can't, I can die with my own sins, but I don't want to die with this other man's sins on me. So he came. He says, I want to know where a man is. I can go and confess this too. So he went to one of the brothers there in Koronga, and he confessed this sin, and he felt better. But I said to him, Mwafilaso, you've just confessed your sin to a man. That doesn't take your sin away from you. You need to confess your sin to God. You need to trust Him as your Lord and your Savior. And so I read him that verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not confess to another man, but to the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He sent somebody to go get a Bible in the Ngonde language, because that's what he understood. And he opened it up and he read it. And he says, now I have read that what you have told me is true. I said, Mwafilaso, why don't you confess the Lord Jesus right now? Tell him about your sin. And so right there, he stopped and he prayed out loud. And he prayed that the Lord, and he confessed his sin to the Lord. Well, Jonah confessed to the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And at that point, the Lord prepared this fish and sent the fish up from the bottom of the waters and over and to the shore. And the fish vomited. It vomited Jonah. When we think of vomit, it's not very nice. But here, Jonah became nothing more than vomit. What a humiliating thing. And when you're inside of a fish like that, it turns your skin a funny color, and it wrinkles up your skin. And so Jonah came up out of that fish, boing, and landed on the shore. And there was Jonah. And God gave Jonah a second opportunity to obey him. He said, Jonah, now you go to Nineveh and you tell those people my message. I will tell you what to speak. You know, Brother Don Hinesley, he used to talk about Jonah, and he used to say in chapter 1, Jonah was the prodigal prophet, running away from God. And in chapter 2, he's the praying prophet, praying a prayer of repentance. Now here in chapter 3, he's the preaching prophet. In chapter 4, he's a pouting prophet. He's discouraged. But here in chapter 3, the Lord tells Jonah again, go and preach to Nineveh. And so Jonah went there, and it was a long distance to get there. And then when he got there to Nineveh, he had to walk for 3 days to go through the city telling them the message that God gave him. And that message was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God is going to destroy this wicked city. So much wickedness and violence and corruption in this city. God's going to destroy it. Jonah, he wanted to see that city get destroyed. So after he finished preaching, he went up and sat on a hill and looked down at the city. And he was waiting and waiting. 40 days went by. Nothing happened to this city. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jonah's sitting there waiting and watching and waiting for this judgment to come. And you know, you need to know that there's judgment coming for you too. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is judgment. There is wrath, Job tells us. There is wrath. And because there is wrath, that's why we are presenting the gospel today and warning you of your need of salvation. Because there is hell. Hell is a very real place. And when you stand before God, God is going to He's going to be interested in one thing. And that one thing is, what do you think of Jesus Christ? What have you done with Jesus? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will say to you, depart from me, go to hell. He will tell His attendants to take you, the angels, to pick Him up and throw Him like they threw Jonah, cast Him down into the outer darkness where there's hopelessness and sadness. and you'll be tied hands and feet, and you won't be able to go anywhere. You won't be able to do anything. But yet your conscience will still be reminding you of all those times when you had to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you refused. You walk out that door without Christ. You've refused Him again. Don't do it. Don't go out that door today without Christ. Come to Him. He loves you. He wants to save you. And so Jonah, he preached in this city. Now he's waiting. He wants to see all that judgment. He wanted to see it. He wanted to see those people destroyed. But the king of that city, he said, no, all the people come together. We are sinners. We have done bad. Let us humble ourselves. Let us confess our sin. And so they took off their clothes. They put on old sacks. And they got themselves down in the dirt. And they put ashes on their heads. And they were very humbled. And they said, it may be that God will have mercy on us. And sure enough, when God hears the prayer of a sinner, of a prayer of repentance, He loves that. He's waiting for your prayer of repentance. He's waiting for your prayer of belief. He's waiting for you. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You have a lot of troubles maybe at home. And when you don't want to go home because there's troubles. But God, He wants to give you rest. He may not take the troubles away, but He will give you the strength to go through those troubles. Well, God saw the humbleness of those people and their repentance. God saw their works, that they turned away from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them, and He did it not. So He did not destroy these people because of their repentance. Now, Jonah, he looks down and says, he becomes angry with God. He becomes angry because, here I went, I embarrassed myself, my skin's a different color, I walk through this city, and they're looking at me, and I'm preaching, telling them it's going to be destroyed, but it's not. It's as if I'm a liar. God doesn't want to destroy you. God is not willing that any should perish. Yet, He's still offering today the message of grace and mercy. He wants to save you. Won't you come to Him today? There's Peter, he came to the Lord and he admitted that he was a sinner. He said, depart from me. I am a sinner. I am a sinful man. And then there was another man. He came to the Lord and he prayed and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you pray that prayer? Can you ask the Lord for mercy today? Can you confess your sin? Jonah, things didn't turn out the way he was expecting. And sometimes in our life as a Christian, things don't always turn out the way we expect. And sometimes we become frustrated and disappointed. And sometimes we turn our blame to God. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Well, Jonah, he was doing that, and he became discouraged. He wanted to commit suicide. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. Oh, he was frustrated. He was angry. God said to Jonah, are you doing the right thing to be angry? And Jonah said, I do well. I do well to be angry. Angry even unto death. Maybe some of you, maybe some of you have discouragements in your life. And you don't know how you can get out of them. You go home and there's problems. You go to school and there's problems. You go to your job and there's problems. And you think that your only way out of this is to commit suicide. I've had some friends, very close friends, who've committed suicide. Because they couldn't take it anymore. But God, He loves you. He died for you. You don't have to take your life because Jesus loves you and He died for you. I want to read one verse in 1 John 1 John chapter 3. In verse 16, hereby we perceive, or we know, we understand the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. God loves you. He was willing to go and die for you. He wants you to cast all your cares and all your frustrations and your anger. Give it to Jesus. Tell him about it. We understand the love of God because he came into this world and he died for you. Won't you come to him today? Won't you accept his love? If you reject the love of Jesus today, you may not have another chance. You may be like that man we talked about when we started. His whole family died in the smoke of the fire. Not one escaped. And you will not escape either if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him today. Just pray as we pray today. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I can't help myself. I believe that you died to take away my sin. Lord, save me. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for this story that we've had about Jonah and his experience. And we learn so much from this story. We just ask that each one here would learn that they are a sinner. And it's wrong to run away from God, because God can always find us. We can't get away from him. Oh, Father, we just ask that there would be a desire for each one to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them in their unbelief, Father. Help them to confess their sin and to accept Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.